1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
I've got an announcement to make, and I'll make this as short and as sweet as I possibly can. This will be the last time you ever hear this word on our show. So roll tape. Roll tape. This will be the last time that you ever hear this. Here it is. It's coming up. In 5 seconds, this will be the last time this word will ever be spoken. 2-1, asshole. That's it. Just got the word today. Unacceptable word. We'll replace it with the one that all the other DJs and morning shows and all the other zoo crews use. A-hole. Yes, that'll be the word, because the other one you can't use. You can't use it. Why? I don't know. In fact, I really didn't get a very satisfactory explanation as to why you can't, other than the fact that it just creeps some people out. Bothers a couple of people. They think maybe it's even flirting with decency guidelines, which of course it is not. I'm intimately familiar with those rules and regulations and laws, and I have been in constant contact with the Ministry of Propaganda, so I know all of the limits that we have on this program. Questions were asked of me by my staff, well, why don't we use the word butthole? I said, because it sounds stupid. It's not as funny. A-hole isn't funny either. We'll probably just have to dispense with the entire reference until it starts to be used by perhaps a more mainstream and acceptable radio show than ours. Until some bigger name than me starts putting it out there into common use, I can't use the other word anymore. It's not that I can't. It's that I don't need the extra headache. You know, we put out on the air per capita, percentage-wise, some of the funniest radio that's ever been heard in the history of the medium. I'm not talking about funniest radio that's heard, you know, today or by other shows in comparison. I mean in the history of the medium. By the way, I just got this bulletin. Casey Kasem used the word asshole on his show last week, and nobody called. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the second time I've used it. That's it, the last. But it doesn't matter how funny we are. It doesn't matter how pointed. It doesn't even matter how sophisticated the satire. And yet how broadly based and how accessible it is. Hear one word, and you got people who are crying. So we just won't go there, all right? It doesn't make any difference to me. I don't need it. I don't need the word. We can do whatever it is that we want to do, and we can get any message that we want across. We can corrupt as many minds as we want. We can disinform and misinform and twist and turn the culture as much as we want. We don't need any specific word. Sometimes it just makes life easier when you have that word to use as an exclamatory feature, but we won't use it. So from now on, we're going to use, like, a-hole or poop, or I don't know what. Poop deck. How about that? Why, what a poop deck guy. You know how we use Joe Dickhead, right? And when I was in Atlanta, the afternoon show that was on the radio station that I was on, they were deathly afraid of saying the name Joe, you know, saying the name Dickhead. So they would say Richard Head. And I remember just thinking, oh, God, man, don't even do it then. Don't even say it then. Just get away from it. What do you mean, Richard? You know, here's the thing. Everybody's controversial now. It doesn't make any difference who. Everybody's on the edge. Everybody's got an edgy show. Everybody's a bad boy and a bad girl, and everybody's talking about sex, and everybody talking about bodily function and everything like that. So you got to do something different. You got to walk a little bit further out there on the edge than everybody else, or just be flat weird. And we've chosen flat weird. That's why we do a radio show where I play the part of the guests as well as myself, and the people that call in don't know that the voice I'm doing is a fake guy. Now, you've never heard anybody do anything like that before, because nobody's ever done anything like that before. I'm the first and the best. So we don't have to use the word a-hole. And I won't ever have to talk to anybody at any radio station or any sponsor, or not that I've had to, but in other words, what we've decided is to offset any complaint that may arise, I don't want to have to ever deal with it ever again. I don't want to have to get off the air after working myself literally almost to death, almost to the point of a heart attack, where there's literally perspiration, where there my joints ache, where my body is fatigued, where my throat is raw and red, and I can't do any more than I've just done, walk out of the studio after executing what we consider to be some very funny material and have somebody come up to me and say, you know that word you use? We've got a problem. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of having somebody come up to me and say, we got a problem. What problem have you got, man? I work harder than anybody that you've ever employed. I do a better show than anybody that you've ever employed. So what problem have you got? Was the show funny? Well, it was very funny. Well, then what's the problem? Well, the word you used. Well, you know what? I don't need it, man. It's fine. I'm not going to make my name getting in trouble with the authorities. I want to go in under the radar. That ain't my thing, man. I don't confront authority. I avoid it. I go way in under the radar, baby. This is 30 seconds over Tokyo. In, out, boom, boom. Off the carrier, drop the bombs, boom, on the beach in Japan. Right on the beach over there in China, waiting for some chick to pick me up. Little bowl of rice, cut off the leg, Van Johnson, boom. We go in under the radar, we drop the comedy bombs, and bang, we're gone, man. We ain't up here. I ain't fighting nobody's war. I am not getting fined for nobody. I am not going to stand up to anybody. I'm not making a point. I'm not getting busted. I'm not on the front lines. I'm not on the firing line. I'm not going to be the controversial voice. I'm not the bad boy. I'm the funny boy. I'm not Mr. In your face. The only thing I want done with my face is when she leaves this party, this nose, you know. And, you know, it's not worth it any longer. Everybody's edgy, and everybody's out there, and everybody's gimmicky, and everybody is the bad boy, and the bad girl, and the bad kid, and the bad dog, and the bad cat, and the bad bird, and the bad baby. They got the bad boy of rock and roll radio. Have they got the bad baby yet? I don't need that. I got a wife, I got four kids, I got a mortgage, I got a car, I got a job, I'm pushing 50, I'm 50 in September. I'm loading up my retirement fund. I'm socking the money away in my savings. I'm investing here and I'm investing there. I'm dabbling there and I'm dabbling hither and dabbling thither. I'm not going to stand in front of a judge or in front of a commissioner or in front of a general manager or a program director and say, I'm standing on principle. That's overrated. That standing on principle thing, way overrated. You get your kicks and you think you move mountains and you're going to do something in this society by sticking your nose up in somebody's face and saying, I'm not going to budge because I believe. Well, you've been reading too many comic books. You've been watching way too much television. The way you do it is in under the radar, baby. Tokyo raid, man. You go in. You drop the bombs, they don't know what hit them, man. Their ass is on fire. They're standing out in the street with their ass on fire before they even knew it was the Americanos that did it. That's the way you do it. The old Afghanistan way. Go in there, smoke them out of their cave, rat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat with those special force machine guns. You're back on the bird and you're having breakfast, ham and eggs there on the aircraft carrier before Osama even got out of bed and picked the food out of his teeth, which is what he's living on these days, by the way. Osama bin Laden is actually staying alive by the food that is crammed between his teeth. It's how long it's been since he's had a meal. So that's the last time you're going to hear that word, and if you've got any programs that feature it prominently, hold on to them. We may even post a few on our website over the next few days. Speaking of our website, well, I'll tell you a little bit about that later on. But again, it's philhenryshow.com. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, well, let somebody else be the rebel, be the chump. You go ahead, you You be the big bad person on the barricade and the barricades there, standing up to the man or however you see it. Me, I'm running for cover. All right, it is time now on the Phil Henry Show to announce the winner of the number one guest of 2001 poll. As you recall, we posted a poll on our website asking you to vote for the number one guest of the year 2001. Now, we had selected a guest for each month of the year, and we posted clips from that individual's appearance on our show during that month. In January, Jeff Dowder. February, Ted Bell. In March, it was Brass. In April, it was Bobby Dooley. In May, it was Clara Bingham. In June, it was Bob Green. In July, it was Dave Oliva. In August, Dean Wheeler. September, Jim Sadler. October, Jay Santos. November, R.C. Collins. And in December, it was Don the Suicide Case coming on as a neighborhood Santa. And the winner of the 2001 Best Guest of the Year poll, as voted by you, Bobby Dooley, from the month of April, winning with a total of 29%. Number two was R.C. Collins from the month of November, and number three, Jay Santos, from the month of October. Here, then, is her winning appearance on our program from April of 2001, Bobby Dooley.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
You know, as a health inspector myself, I think it's absolutely insulting to a fellow human being to ask them to wipe your rear end. And since you are an employer, then if that was part of her job duties as you see it fit, you should have immediately provided her with latex gloves so she's protecting herself from any fecal contamination.
What about that?
You're so familiar with the laws of employment.
You know something? I was in a situation where I didn't have any rubber gloves handy. It was either that or
but
the obvious alternative.
If that's part of her job duty, then as an employer, you have an obligation to provide that. And since you are an employer in California,
you know
you're
something?
Required
you're really
to employ
offensive,
people
and you
that
think
are
you
here
know
legally.
Everything.
And just because she turned around and took her human rights into care, and she has a little bit of dignity and didn't choose to wipe your ass, then you better deal with it.
You know something? You have all the answers, don't you?
You know, and if you're supposedly some big charitable fundraiser, I suggest that you pick other charities because I would hate to see you representing a charity that I represent also. You are demeaning to human race.
You know something?
Were you raised with a silver spoon in your mouth?
My husband
and
has a very successful business.
If your husband is going to be turned off by wiping your rear end, he should be turned off by the mere fact that you called a radio station and you are justifying asking an employee to wipe your rear end. Handicapped people that have no arms find ways to wipe their own rear ends. You have two hands on yourself happen to have nails done on and you can't wipe your own rear end.
Is
as
the host
a female,
there, please?
I'm insulted by you. Absolutely insulted.
Can I speak with the host, please?
I'm right here.
May I have a moment?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, this woman would not yield the floor.
Go ahead.
First of all, Jesse, what is the alternative? To have it crust and stick there?
No, the alternative is
and
to
I walk
the
around. I walk around
dry,
in a thousand.
You're so wealthy,
I walk around in a $2,000 gown.
And sit your ass on it and let the water hit it. Since you're so into everything being clean, you probably have a bidet in your bathroom, then you should have just gotten up off the toilet and sat on the bidet. Or better yet, turn on the faucet with your wet nails in the bathtub and soak your ass in there and let the fecal matter come off.
You know, you have all the answers, but you won't listen to me.
No, I do
I'm
have the
wearing
answers. As a
1,500-year-old...
You would be the first person to call our department
first of all, we're
and
American.
Complain if you saw one small speck of dirt somewhere, but you don't find it wrong
you know
to have
something?
An employee wipe your rear end.
You know, Jesse,
unbelievable. I can't even believe that you think you're right.
May I say
mean,
something? Mr. Henry, may I say something without being interrupted?
All right, Jesse, let's let her... All right, let's let her... Jesse.
And have the dog lick your rear end because they wouldn't have a
you know,
problem
you are
with
very,
it.
Very crude and you're really offensive.
But you know
and
what?
There's
what
nothing that I have said...
Dog cleaning your rear
there
end
is
as
nothing that
to a
I
human
have
being
said... That is anywhere near as disgusting
no,
as
it,
what you
it
just
is
said.
Just as disgusting as what you're
and
asking a human being
host,
to do.
The host,
she eats with her hands.
Is
at
the
least
host
the dog
of the show?
Licks his rear end also.
Well, then, Jesse, in that case, I'd suggest you give me lessons in how to lick my own ass.
Well, then,
because,
you know,
all right,
that
ladies,
would be great
please.
Because then you wouldn't
ladies.
Have to ask your employer to do it. And your husband
Jesse?
Wouldn't be turned off by
ladies,
it either.
Can I jump in?
No. Have you had sex with an animal too? You're very intimate.
Okay. Can we please not?
That's just very intellectual.
Yes.
Of you.
Well, you know, it's about as intellectual as what you've been saying.
You know,
first of all, I am.
Money for charity, why
oh my God!
To
this
your
woman
next
just
little
doesn't.
Summer affair,
she
and
doesn't
why
shut
you
up.
Take a poll of
is
everybody that's at your phone and ask them what they think of your comment. I will guarantee you that 100% of your guests will find you appalling. If you
Jesse,
think you're
first
so
of all,
right, why don't you do that?
Oh my
that?
God! Oh my God! You just don't shut up, do you? First of all, I'm an American. My husband and I are Americans.
So?
We don't put bidets in our bathroom. It is foreign.
And most Americans don't ask people to wipe their rear ends. They treat people like human beings.
Well,
okay?
I happen to think that bidets are really, really gross.
And most women would be absolutely appalled to ask another female to wipe their rear end when they have no handicap whatsoever. And in your case, it was only a $100 nail job,
I am
but you're bragging about raising all
this
kinds
is
of
the
charity?
This is the greatest country in the world. Why am I supposed to have a bidet in my bathroom when we have domestics
world, you know
who can
because
do it?
People have human rights, and people
right.
are protected.
You're saying,
and
Bobby, you're saying that you
oh, thank God, you Phil, she finally shut up.
Well, wait a minute, I got a question. You're saying that you would rather have a human being wipe your rear end than install a gross foreign bidet.
That is correct, yes. Because we're Americans here, Jesse. I don't know about where you're from. And we love our country dearly.
You are a very prejudiced human
being.
We
love America.
It's too bad that people don't know your last name because I'll guarantee you they wouldn't support a thing you did for charity.
No, my name is Bobby Dooley. I'm with Western Estates. I'm very proud of who I am. And this woman,
and
she goes out and she hires.
I'm not an American citizen because I choose to wipe my own rear end.
Bill Hendricks. Flashback.
Well, there you go. The winner of the 2001. Best Personality of the Year, Bobby Dooley. Let's listen, shall we? Oh, I'm sorry. That's the Air Force theme. I thought it was more. Anyway, yes, Bobby Dooley, the winner of the Best Guest of the Year 2001. Actually, let's listen to this for a while because my father-in-law is an Air Force veteran. All right, that sucks. Now, wanted to also mention to you that the another exciting little development here on the West Coast this morning in Los Angeles, LAX was evacuated because of a bomb scare. Yes! It was just fantastic. I got out of bed this morning. I sprung out of bed. I flipped the TV on, and there were people just wandering all over the parking lot at LAX because they'd been kicked out of the Bradley terminal because somebody left something. Yes, it doesn't matter how many announcements. It doesn't matter how many times they get on the loudspeaker and say, please don't leave things unattended or they will be viewed as suspicious. It doesn't matter because people are still going to do it, aren't they? Why? Because they're stupid. That's why. We can fly 50 planes into the World Trade Center. They're still going to leave stuff laying around. And then when they finally announce on the radio and TV that we've all had to be evacuated, you're too embarrassed to go back and get it, aren't you? You're just going to let us just blow it up. Turned out it was a tampon tube, by the way. Nice going, all you security guys out at LAX. You're really on top of it. Did you see it this morning? It was wild, man. No, I got nothing against the security guys at LAX. They're doing their gig. That's what they're supposed to do. And I got news for you. This is the way that life is from now on. This isn't something that's going to end. See, I get the feeling people think, oh, well, in 6 months, a year, two, you know, this is the way it's going to... If you've got a little baby, if you have a child who's a baby, by the time they're an old person, it's still going to be like this. We're going to be having airplanes and airports and buses and everything evacuated. That's just the way it's going to be. So I better not hear any belly aching about it. So far, so good today. I haven't heard anybody bitch. I haven't heard one person say, oh my God, I went to the tampon tube. I haven't heard anything, which is good, because if I did, I might get violent, and you wouldn't like me when I'm violent. Preceding, paid for by the United States Air Force. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Anyway, So, yeah, they evacuated LAX, but everything was back to normal inside of an hour. It was a very beautiful thing. I saw the guys out in front because Channel 5 had an aerial shot, and I saw them kind of looking at this tube. It wasn't a tampon tube, Janice. It was a tube that they keep, like, weather-regulating equipment in or something that someone just left laying around because they thought, oh, they must be kidding about leaving stuff laying around. I guess I can leave this laying around. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
So I don't know if any of you have seen these untoward activities, these people who are just giving our fine security personnel a hard time at the airports. I'm not being facetious either. They make $5 an hour. So in other words, your point is what? That doesn't give you the right to abuse them. Maybe they ought to be fired. Maybe they ought to be replaced. Maybe they ought to be reevaluated. Maybe they ought to be retrained. Maybe they should fire the company that the airports or the aviation authorities hired, but that doesn't mean you and I, the schlubs that are getting on the airplane, get to make fun of how fat and black those people are and their little red blazers and the way that they wave the wand up your crack or wherever they're sticking it. Look, I just want to get on the plane and get flying, if you don't mind, okay? And have you seen these bags laying around? I saw a guy. Check this out. I mean, by the way, speaking of joking around, now, this would be interesting if you guys have ever heard anybody throw a joke in an airport like, ha ha, I've got a bomb, because that's against the law, and they'll throw your ass on the floor, and they'll hogtie you, and you'll lay there like a squealing hog under a gate for hours while they decide what to do with you. It's a whole new ball game, baby. Whole new ball game. You think you got certain rights? Guess again. They've just been peeled away from you. No, I mean, you're in an airport. You're in a federally licensed facility. 1-800-449-8686. You heard about the lady that's suing, I don't know who it is. I don't want to misspeak, but I think she's suing a major airport out west because she felt that she was frisked inappropriately. She was taken behind a security screen and rubbed up and down. Guy kind of, you know, put his hand between her leg. I don't know what he did. He's, you know, what, are you going to blame a guy? All of a sudden, the cat's got a couple of opportunities there to maybe, you know, brighten his day a little bit. I'm joking, Janice. She's in there giving me the eyeball like you wouldn't believe. She's giving me that Italian evil eye, which she learned how to do low these many years ago, sitting on her mama's knee. But, no, seriously, I was at the airport there. Maria and I are flying back from Europe. And it was one of those years. It was a good year for me. I had given a lot of blood, just gallons of it, and we'd saved all the money up, and we were able to afford a couple of airline tickets to Paris, France, because it sounded romantic. And so we flew to Paris, had a bad time, and then flew home and literally kissed the ground when we got off the air, what is that thing that we flew? Oh, yeah, the airplane. And see, the French... Just don't even start with me about the French, if you don't mind. It's okay. I understand many of you find it very romantic. Paris is so romantic. The French, to me, will never be anything more than dogs. Just sort of, what do you call a dog? A yapping dog. Not even a dog that'll shut up. It'll sit and yap. You could kick it across the street if you wanted to, but then it would just yap some more. Anyway, we're in the airport, and the guy says to me, "And monsieur, has anyone given you anything before your arrival here?" I said, "No, they have not." He said, "Not even a Kalashnikov rifle, monsieur?" I said, "Whoa." He says, "What's wrong?" I said, "You know, in the States, we can't even joke about that stuff. You just said Kalashnikov rifle, AK-47. He says, "We're not that. We don't have a gob wedged in our ass the way Americans do." I said, "Well, I'm just telling you, you know, I don't even want to say Kalashnikov rifle, because you're joking about it, but we can't do that. Over there in Frogland, they can joke and laugh and hey, I got a bomb. Maybe when the next time you go to Paris, try this. Go in there and say, got a bomb, just kidding, and they'll laugh their asses off over there. They love it. It's unbelievable. But he did tell me the story of somebody left a bag or something, and they brought in the bomb squad. It was some guy's beautiful, brand-new bag that he bought at some downtown department store, gorgeous leather bag, and they blew it up. They blew the thing to smithereens. This dude's bag, it's like a $300 leather bag, just bang! Guy left it there. So this guy's giving me all of these things about a Kalashnikov rifle. I said, hey, Jacques, I bet you won't laugh when a baguette goes off inside your ass. So this is what I'm saying. You know, just go to the airport, get your stuff. Some guy's leaving something laying around, and we all got to pay. And what do you think you hear the next day in the newspaper? Not the fact that they were doing a good job security-wise. It's always some belly aching about how, do we have to evacuate? Yes, it's the security procedure. I'm telling you right now, things are overboard. Things are overboard, huh, Charlie? Until somebody lets one go inside your beautiful luxury liner over the Atlantic Ocean and your ass is floating in the tail section somewhere near the Canary Islands. Then you won't think it's so funny. He said and then laughed. You're floating face down off the Canary Islands. You think that's funny? You think maybe they should have had a little bit more security then? The laughs, the fun, and the games are over. You're going to go into that airport. You're going to strip down. They're going to stick a flashlight up your rear end if they have to, and you're not going to say anything about it. What do you think about that? You want to fly? That's what you got to do. This is war, baby. War. War. Haven't heard that word in a while, have you? You still think it's some kind of a photo op. This is a war. And those guys that they're sticking down there at Camp Rhino and Camp X-Ray and Camp Runamuck and wherever else they're sticking all those guys, they would like nothing better than to see you and your kid dead. What do you think of that? They're called Al-Qaeda. They don't like you, and they don't like Jews. And if you're also a Jew and an American, well, you just won the grand prize. Their sworn job is to kill Americans and Jews, and they'll do it any way they can, in whatever venue they can, with whatever tool they can, any time of the day. It doesn't matter if it's the high holidays. It doesn't matter if it's Christmas, Ramadan, Ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong. They don't care who you are or what you are. You could have maybe just saved their mama's life the day before. They'll kill you. So you go into the airport, and the guy says, let's see the shoes, let's see your underwear, let's see your teeth, let's see your face, and you're going to do it, or don't fly. But the thing that's bothering me, is anybody with me on this? The thing that's bothering me is the complaining I'm hearing about the inconvenience. You're going to be inconvenienced until the day they lower you into the ground, Charlie. You better just get a smile on your face about it. Till the day they drop you into that box and lower you down, you will be inconvenienced. Your plane's going to be late. They're going to look in your bag. They're going to look up your rear end. They're going to stare and see if you got anything jammed down your throat. They're going to see if you got any balloons up there, whatever. They're going to pat you down. They're going to run the wand all over you. And, you know, you can complain all you want about it, but it ain't going to change. Is it getting out of hand? Is it getting overboard? Is it not the country that you once knew? Is it a suddenly strange and oppressive place? I got a great idea. Move to Mexico. If you can live at a resort hotel, it's gorgeous. Otherwise, it's a little bit worse. You got a federale in there, man. Have those guys take you out of the Tijuana substation. Excuse me, not carrying enough money on you. Just ran a red light. Looks like we're going to have to hold you over here, gringo. Give those guys a little crap, see how far I'd get you. Good God. And if some dumbass leaves a bag laying around and I got to get out of Bradley and it's going to take me an hour, you know what? I'll be angry. I'll be really angry. But I ain't going to be angry with the security guys. I'm going to be angry at whoever that dumbass is that left the bag. I'll find him. I'll stick them in an airplane, and I'll fly them into a building. 1-800... I got people looking at me as if I'm the retarded child. They go, he's doing better, isn't he, though? 1-800-440... Am I sounding angry? I'm telling you, it's gotten to the point I can't take it any longer, listening to the complaining. I'm ready for it, man. I battened down the hatches a long time ago. I cinched it up a long time ago. When the president said we're at war, I didn't even have to hear the president say it. After they flew those planes into the building, baby, I knew it was up. I knew exactly what this game was, man. I got all ready for it. I don't take nothing for granted. I'll tell you what, I just got out of alcohol rehab. The next day they flew those planes into the building, and I'm fine. I have to laugh. I had to get that little chuckle because there's some people now are going to go, is he out of alcohol rehab, really, Bob? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, by the way, CNN, I didn't mention this to you. Just in case you thought anybody really believed that you were all shocked about the Polizon zipper promo, I guess I look dumber than I am. Nobody bought it, man. Hey, Paula, no one bought that you were all shocked over the zipper promo. And how dare they do that to me? Why, fire him. I want whatever little peon editor. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. It ran 10 times, baby. The reason why they put that zipper promo out there, and then you, in conjunction with some writer, you guys scripted it out late one night over a white Zin somewhere at a mid-Manhattan restaurant. Okay, do the zipper promo, then I'll get all shocked as if I'm a feminist, and I can't believe it, and then CNN will condemn it, and then we'll fire some flunky punk kid editor who, has a wife and 3 kids, throw him out into the gutter, and then I'll look like a hero, and ooh, it'll just be wonderful. That's exactly what it was. And meanwhile, Greta Van Susteren, and you got me on this one, I understand this. She is beating Aaron Brown. I mean, anybody could beat Aaron Brown. A nearsighted hamster could beat Aaron Brown, which, by the way, is what he looks like. Look, and I got nothing against Aaron Brown other than the fact that he looks like he's going to just have diarrhea every time he's on the air. Okay, we have a report now that a building with a blown up. Yeah, thank you, Aaron. You are the voice of reason. Okay, here is Stephanie on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, ma'am.
Good. Hey, the reason I'm calling, I would like to applaud you on the airline piece that you did. I worked for Delta Airlines in reservations in Salt Lake, and nightly we have people, I'm too busy to wait in the line. What do you mean I have to go through security for 4 hours? And it was interesting, after September 11th, everybody was just so, no problem, we'll do it. You know, you don't mind. And now all of a sudden, it's like everybody's forgotten.
Oh, they're
like,
starting
hello.
They're bitching again, huh?
Oh, it's amazing. I had a woman last night that she didn't have time to go through security. I don't have time to get my electronic ticket. I don't have time. It's like, well, then why are you bothering twice?
We don't have time scraping you off of a wall when your plane goes into it. So what do you think of that? We won't just
have
the time to scrape you and your bag off of a wall. What do you say to these people?
I'm like, does September 11th ring a bell?
Do you really?
You remember?
Beautiful. Perfect. Perfect.
It's like you guys are, come on.
And what do they say? And I bet you they say something like, don't be ridiculous.
No, the big one is, I don't look like a terrorist. It's like,
you should say, no, you look like
a terrorist.
You look like a flaming a-hole. I'm using a new word tonight. Well, Stephanie, what do you do?
Thank you very much.
Oh, you work at the gate, huh? So you're a flight attendant as well.
No, actually, I work in reservations.
Oh, in reservations.
In reservation center, yeah.
Well, look, I'm just saying, today, you heard what happened in L.A. today.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody left a bag. How many times I got to hear the recording? It's going over and over again like it's a dream, like you're in a fever dream. Please don't leave a bag. Don't leave the bag. It's just going over and over, you know, as you're standing there getting your $9 Starbucks. No bag. And some dumbass leaves a bag.
I know. It's just beyond me.
You know what they ought to do? They ought to wait there, and then the guy comes running up. That's my bag. Well, you don't get it. No, wait a minute. No, you don't get it now. But what you do get to do is watch us blow it up. So come on over here, sir.
To jail.
Yeah. All right, Stephanie.
Hey, thank you. We love you.
Good going, kid. See you later. Bye. She doesn't even know who I am or what I do, you know. If she ever really got a load of this show, she'd never listen to it again. But, you know, maybe I want to listen to her there. 1-800-449-8686. Jay, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Hi, sir.
Hey, this is my actually first time calling, first couple of days listening to your show.
Yes, sir.
A couple of buddies of mine, guys, we're pretty much from all over the United States. We're here doing security for the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
I'm from Arizona. I'm a sheriff's deputy there just outside of Phoenix. There's guys from all over. And basically, we're staying in a what we call the bubble. An athletic club out here kind of like rented out some space, and this is pretty much where all of us there from out of state are staying. The majority of the people that we've been running into in Salt Lake City are glad that we're here. The security aspect has been phenomenal as far as, you know, people accepting why and what for and everything that's going on. You got law enforcement officers from all over the country up here. Every once in a while, I run into people who are saying, you know, why is all the security kind of going overboard? And basically, my response to them is basically this. You have that right to complain. You have that luxury to complain. But for all of us being out here, it may deter the aspect of maybe something happening. It may not. But in the end, you get to go home at night, where you get the majority of us. We're out here for a month, month and a half, almost 2 months.
Who are these people you're explaining this to, Jay? Do they look like reasonably intelligent
people?
They're just
normal. Really? You know, they're just normal citizens saying, hey, you guys are here for the Olympics. You guys are doing security, this, that, and the other. Well, don't you think it's kind of overboard? Nothing's really going to happen here and all this other stuff. It's like, well, you have that ability to complain.
You ought to breathalyze them on the spot. You ought to breathalyze them on the spot. You ought to, on the spot. What did you say? Aren't you overdoing it? Yeah, okay, spread your legs. Get it. What are you doing? Well, you've got to be drunk to say something like that. So just look at my finger and seriously, man, you ought to, would you pee in a cup, please? Why? Because what you just said means you have to be on some psychotropic. So pee into the cup or I'm gonna milk you like a freaking cow. Anyway, so you guys are coppers from around the country who are there on contract, so to speak?
Yeah, we're contract with another agency, and we pretty much come up from, you know, different parts of the United States, Wisconsin, Arizona, Boston. I mean, you've got guys in hotels, you've got guys in hospital, you got guys watching a bridge, you know, making sure things don't happen. And,
good.
You know, half the population probably doesn't even know that we're here. But, you know,
that's cool.
With the security aspect, it's like, you know, I'd rather them have the luxury to complain and go home at the end of the night. And it may not be, you know, my post that, you know, deters something, but it may be another post.
You might have already, and you don't know, my boy.
Correct.
You might have already, man. All right. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks
a lot. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. How about that, huh? Of course, a lot of people complain about the security. You know, they got a plane to catch, and I understand that. And there are people who say that they don't mind the security because they just rolled in from Nebraska on a, you know, on the corn wagon. You know, they just drove in on the RV, the caravan. You know, they got the Winnebago 300, and we're trying it out this year. They just came in from the softball tournament there in Ogallala, and they thought they'd just skip right over the mountain there into the Olympics, and so they're parked, and they're using somebody else's electricity and all the running water we need, too. All I got to do is crap into a hole I dug near a tree. Well, that's great. The only problem is that's my front yard. So you get out. So I understand, but it's really nice. You see, out here we get the Rose Parade every year, and the Winnebago caravans that come through here, it's you might as well be in the middle of Lawrence of Arabia, just in, and man, they're just streaming in from out of town. And using any and everything as a toilet. Pans, McDonald's cups. Yeah. Anyway. I'm joking. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Anyway, solid for you guys. And I told you the story. When I went to Ground Zero the first time, I went to dinner with Peter Trippi and his wife and Marie and I. And we went to the, what's the De Niro restaurant that everybody goes to so they can pretend like they're a movie star? Tribeca Grill. So we went there and had the food. It was, anyway, and I went down. I started hugging cops, National Guard. I went to bed that night with a member of the New York State Patrol. I'm kidding. Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.